Welcome to the Island Basketball Podcast, the Control Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, you got into fisticuffs last night, but you've been hit harder than that. How's it going?
I'm rumbling is what I'm doing. I'm just roaming the mean streets of Denver looking to scuffle.
Yeah, looking for a fracas.
Like J.J. Barea.
Yeah, that was fun. That happened right in front of me.
Ray Allen and J.J. Barea. I just want to be like, guys, really? Just, why are you wasting our time with this?
And Ray was instantly enraged.
Just livid.
Instantly enraged, screaming at him. It was really fascinating to watch those two go at it. And then the entire time, like, my eyes immediately, like, scan the lineups to see who's in the game. Like, is Udonis Haslam in the game? He'll do something. Is, you know, Steams in the game? Or is Dante Cunningham in the game? Because those are, like, kind of the Wolves enforcers with Peck not in. And Cunningham's out there. And the entire time, Cunningham is just trolling the Heat players. Just, like, almost begging. Because he has not been playing that well as of late. And I'm guessing he's just like, I know I can beat these guys in a fight. We can't beat them in a basketball game, but I know I can get them in a fight. And he just seemed like he was just begging for somebody to lose their cool, even beyond what happened. It was great.
So you have some thoughts on the officiating?
I need
this is the part of the podcast where Matt's just going to bring up the subject and then slowly, just quietly get out of the way. I'm like Jessica Chastain in the torture scene in Zero Dark Thirty.
I need to look up the official. Do you know who number 50 is for the officials?
I have, like, no concept of the officials. All I see is calls. Like, I don't keep track of the officials at all. It's the worst part of my internet game.
Orlandis Poole. That guy is a good official. I will say that. I walked away last night, and maybe it's just because he's next to Ed Malloy for the entire night. But I generally, like, I'd never noticed him before, but I genuinely thought he did a good job in the game. Ed Malloy, on the other hand, is an atrocious official. He's really bad, and he was the crew chief last night, and he's, you know, going to be in the playoffs for many games, and he's just a bad official. And you ask anybody around covering other teams and stuff, like, his name comes up. He's a bad official, and yet he has, you know, he has this resume that, you know, throws him out there as one of the better ones. But he's a terrible official, and he lost control of the game at one point.
What makes him so bad?
Mainly the missing of calls and the making of wrong calls.
Okay.
And the fact that I'm really shocked that you could go review that foul by Barea and say you're out of the game.
Yeah, that was really odd. I made this comment on our basketball Twitter last night that I was really surprised because say what you want about the Ibaka thing and whether it was intentional or not. You have two different crews saying that Ibaka hitting a guy in the nuts does not warrant him being removed from a game, and JJ running into Ray Allen.
Yeah.
Now Allen afterwards was adamant. He was saying that he got elbowed in the neck, and that's what he was upset about
during the play. Or
maybe
on previous
Barea. Maybe Barea was the one that was upset about that.
Yeah, Barea said I read it wrong. Because that was the play. That led to the foul was earlier in that possession. Ray Allen pushes off on Bray. And, you know, Bray is known for flopping there. It do, like from my angle and I've seen on the replay, it does look like he gets him.
Right.
I don't know how much the contact was exaggerated. I'm sure Bray exaggerated a little bit, but it was enough and it was high enough on Bray's chest and like he said it was close to his throat that it made him mad and he went and hit, you know, went and shoulder rammed Ray Allen. So it was clearly retaliation for a foul he thought should have been called. And I've heard, you know, you hear players do this from time to time where they say, I'm going to commit a foul just to make the referee blow his whistle on something if I'm not getting the call. Like, I've heard many players say that. And so that's kind of a thing. It's kind of a frustration thing. And it's not really the best decision, but it's, you know, like a protest of sorts, I guess. But the Barea thing was clearly retaliation, and I just didn't think it was that bad. Like, it's a flagrant one because there was no play on the ball. Allen wasn't in the air when he hit him. He, you know, he got him with his shoulder. He didn't shove him. Like, it's just, it was a shoulder, a pretty, like, not severe shoulder bump, but a good enough to where it would be a flagrant foul. But a flagrant two and ejected? Like, that's ridiculous. And it's not, this isn't a thing of like, oh, the refs made the Wolves lose this game. They were going to lose that game regardless. But it did change the game. I mean, the Wolves were in it until that point.
Yeah, they were hanging, and that kind of happened, and they really kind of unraveled.
Yeah. I think it was a 3-point game at that point.
It is kind of weird. I feel like Berea's reputation really worked against him last night.
Not just like a flopper. Sure.
Like, he's always on the officials, and you almost feel like they're
oh,
just
he
like,
he complains a lot.
Like, it's almost like they were like, you're so annoying, I'm going to eject you.
He does. I mean, that is a guy that complains a lot to officials, and maybe if he's lucky, half the time it's correct. And I feel like that's being generous.
Yeah, I couldn't really understand what about that play was flagrant. I just couldn't. Excessive.
I get a flagrant one. I really do. Like, I don't think it was a definitive flagrant one, but I would not argue with that at all. I mean, he didn't really make a play on the ball.
And I know they downgraded today, so.
Yeah, and they downgraded from a 2-1. Which Adelman and Brea both expected they would.
But they're also going to get fined. It doesn't matter because he's going to get the same fine anyway because he's going to get fined for his comments last night.
Yeah, that's the thing. And the Adelman was like, basically like, at least explain why.
Adelman should have been writing his checkout while he was making his comments last night.
Yeah, well, that was, I wanted, you were waiting for Adelman to come to the podium and I'm thinking like, God, yeah, I don't really want to ask a question in which, you know, you get him fined because that's a lot of money, even for a guy that makes a lot of money. That's a big check to write, but, you know, you kind of want him to comment on this, and he got the littlest opening from, I think, John Krasinski of the Associated Press, who's awesome. I think he asked the first question, and then Adelman just went right into it. He had no problem. Like, you could tell he was like, I am absolutely going to get, you know, say what it takes to get a fine here. But he wanted clarification of why. You know, and I'm pretty sure he said, like, he understands it's a different officiating crew, but he wanted to know why Steensma getting a forearm on a dead ball situation from Jarrett Jack was a flagrant one, but a shoulder bump from Berea on Ray Allen is a flagrant two. Like, he just wanted to know why, you know, why the inconsistency there, which is a valid question. I mean,
our friends at the NBA are very defensive of their officials, as they need to be. That's
sure.
Important.
Absolutely. It's a very and Bray even said that he recognized it's a very hard game to officiate.
And you and I are probably going to be making more of this as the year goes on and finishes up and in the playoffs, especially if it continues. You and I are not guys that, like, I tend to be take the side of the officials. I tend to, especially on things like text where guys are like, he didn't even do anything. My question is always, did you hear what he said?
Right.
No.
And did you hear and did you hear the buildup of what he's been saying? Like, that's something we're rarely privy to.
Like, if you play me the audio and he doesn't say anything, then okay. But until I hear what he said, which is clearly what gets guys a lot of the time, I give him credit. But you and I have both been on this year. The officiating is – this is not about foul differential for certain teams. It's not about technicals. It's none of that. It's that the calls overall have been bad. It's been missed calls, misinterpretations, poor interpretations, not hitting the things that they've stressed. It's been – you know, inconsistency all over. It's been a major problem this year. It's been the only. This has been a great season, and it's been one of the few down points. Has been.
Yeah.
You know, injuries are always sucky, but it's part of it. The officiating has been really bad this year.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I've, you know, over my brief career of covering the NBA and having a job doing it in one way or another, I've been very adamant in not defending officials, but defending misconceptions about calls. If someone's like, oh, LeBron's allowed 3 steps all the time, it's like, well, no, you don't understand what the gather dribble is, or, you know, the gather step, or you don't, you know, this is why that's a block, that's why it's a charge. They're just, you know, there are a lot of rules that people may not fully understand, and I try to understand the best I can, and it usually comes off as me just defending officials all the time. And I've been accused of being a mouthpiece for the league in a very small, insignificant way because I do say, well, no, this is a really hard game to officiate, and I think this is the correct call here, that's the correct call there. But this year it has been really, really bad. Like, there's no defending it for the most part. It is a really hard game to officiate. I don't know if they need to do more with replay or they need a fourth official. I don't know what the answer is, but if this season is going to be the norm now for officiating, which it could just be an outlier too, but if it starts trending this way, that's a problem because it's been really bad.
Yeah. I mean, they're losing control of games all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's been worse, too, because they'll lose control of the game. And I've seen in seasons before, they'll lose control of the game and be like, look, we lost it. Like, let's make sure, you know, let's hand out. They'll use tees as kind of a cooldown method.
Right.
To basically be like, okay, guys, you know, let's not get in a fight. Let's nobody lose our heads now. You know, let everybody simmer down. It's okay. But now they're doing this weird thing where, okay, no, we're just going to start hammering you with perimeter calls.
Right.
And then the players are even more frustrated because they're like, you didn't call that for half the game.
Right.
Like, I'm literally doing what I did two possessions ago in another half, and now it's a foul.
Yeah.
What am I, you know, how am I supposed to do that? So it's been a lot of issues with that.
Bray's comments after the game were hilarious, so. I mean, as he left the floor, he was jawing at Ray Allen, and long enough where I was thinking, like, oh, he may get fined for not leaving the floor right away.
Yep.
I mean, he was just standing basically under the basket. Let's say he was calling him a cat. I mean, he was
one mean cat.
One mean cat. He said it a few times in a row, and I could hear it a little bit. And Ray Allen was jawing back at him. And I think Ray Allen was basically just telling him to go to the locker room or something, but and saying, like, oh, you're tough. But it was a pretty funny exchange. And then after one Bray described those parting words as, oh, it's just basketball talk, which I thought was great. And then he talked about, he's like, you know, I thought it was – I was mad at him for the way he reacted to a soft foul. I've been hit harder than that in my career. I'm hit harder than that every night. Bynum, like, don't cry about that kind of foul. Bynum almost ended or almost knocked me out of life, and I didn't get up and cry, which I thought was a great line. And then and the best part of that whole exchange is he's done talking to reporters, or he's done, like, on the record talking to reporters, and there's a little back and forth with myself and a couple other reporters and JJ, and then Steamsma, I think, asked him what, or maybe it wasn't Steamsma. Some player near his locker was, you know, asked him what he was doing after the game or after he was leaving, and he said, "Oh, actually, I have a meet and greet right now." He had to go meet and greet fans after he got ejected. It was great.
This game is amazing.
Oh, it's so good! It's so good.
My game was much less exciting last night. Denver, Atlanta. Atlanta on fifth game in six nights. The road guy was telling me about their trip, and it was just like a nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, they're on back-to-back, flying in from L.A. late. And it was like the definition of the schedule loss. Like, they made a good effort to come back twice on the Nuggets, but just didn't have enough to take the lead, and we're completely out of it. But it was a fun experience to go. I had a lot of good conversations. One of the funniest ones that I was not privy to, but did – was there for. So I'm sitting around waiting for a player who I will not reveal because he big timed me. My fourth big time this year.
Yeah.
And I was drove by this on Twitter and people were like, you know, or the older NBA guys are like, oh, you know, what's the big deal? Like, only four, like, that's nothing. And I'm like, it's a little bit different when you've, like, pre-arranged it.
Right.
You've, like, contacted PR before and be like, can I do this? Yeah. Just talk to him here. Okay, and then email again to say, hey, are you sure this is still okay? And they're like, yeah, absolutely, just be here. And then you go, and the players are like, no, but I got other things to do. So I'm waiting for this player before he ends up big-timing me, and Deshaun Stevenson and Anthony Tolliver are in the locker room. There's like five guys in there. And Tolliver's educating him about what went on with the MBPA mess.
Okay, yeah, Tolliver's involved with that stuff.
Yeah, about Hunter and everything. And it was just amazing to see Deshaun Stevenson being like, wait, what? Like, wait, he gave what? How much did he pay his son at Prim Capital? And, like, the players are like, what? Like, the rest of the guys are like they clearly had not read the report that you and I pored over when it came out.
Right.
That was sent directly to their inbox. Like you could just tell, like, they had not read. I don't blame them. I would not care either if I was in their position. But it was just hilarious to hear them be like, he gave – how much did his son make? And it was just – it was a really bizarre experience to have Anthony Tolliver being like, well, I see the thing is here – and, you know, I almost interjected to be like – but I realized it would not come off because they're just going to hear, like, the big figures, because I wanted to be like, well, you realize the big problem is that you guys weren't overseeing his travel at all.
Right.
Like, I keep trying to explain this to people. travel budgets over a 6-year span that are unchecked, I can't even begin to calculate how much money that is. And it's little bitty bits and pieces that add up significantly if you're traveling as much as Hunter did.
Yep. Then that guy was on the road all the time.
And it's having seen the way that these guys travel, I'm a guy that even when I go for work stuff, my bosses get annoyed with me because they're like, you don't have to – don't get yourself hurt because I literally am staying in like Motel 6s and places. I stayed in a place in Dallas last year when I was doing some draft stuff that had like the whole bars on the windows thing. I mean, it was not good. Like, the hotel clerk was like, are you sure you're at the right hotel? Like, I showed up in like a suit.
Because we only rent by the hour. I don't know what
you're saying. Are you sure this is where you need to be? Well, yeah, it's fine. I will never forget that bed I had to sleep in. But, but on the contrast, like seeing how the players roll, Jesus. I mean, it's just, and people live this way. It's really incredible to me that there's this, like the class gap in this country where people just live in this way that is unfathomable to me on a daily basis. So anyway, that was kind of interesting. Kenneth Faried last night post-game says, I have to go. I'm going to say one statement. That's it. And they're like, okay, what's your one statement? And he says, Ty Lawson is a top 5 point guard in this league. We're playing really well right now. I think it's really great that we're coming together. Bye. See ya. And turns and walks out the door. I told JaVale, I said, I think that was your third. He blocked 2 3-pointers in that game last night.
Yeah.
I said, I think that's your third block of a 3-pointer in 2 games. And I was like, I don't think anybody's ever done that because you don't see it. You don't see blocks on 3-pointers.
Right.
And he was, and JaVale said, no, that's not true. And I said, well, it's pretty rare. He's like, this league's been around a long time, man. And then turned back around. And that was my JaVale conversation for the night.
I like him educating you.
I was like, oh, really? Is that true? I thought it had only been around the last couple of years. I thought it was born with LeBron. Ty Lawson actually is great after the games. Ty Lawson is just like a regular dude.
Yeah.
But the best part is like after the game, he's the first one to check the standings. And he's like, he knows that I'm the one that like keeping track of all this stuff because the Denver guys do not care. Like, they're mostly there for their jobs as a prerequisite, but they're all checking, like, Broncos. The latest, who are the Broncos going to draft in the 5th round,
Hey, that's important. NFL.
And so, we love the NFL without CBS, by the way. Catch that weekly. Anyway, so Ty's, like drilling me, like, hey, did this team win? Did this team win? I'm like, well, okay, the Warriors are up 12 on the Raptors. And he's like, okay. And then he's like, did Utah lose? I was like, yep. And he was like, Lakers going to make the playoffs.
Oh. Yeah.
He's like, I can't believe it, and the whole locker room is just like, I can't believe it. they're gonna make the playoffs. One player who will go nameless said, "Of course they're gonna make the playoffs. The league will do whatever is necessary to make sure the Lakers make the playoffs."
Oh,
yeah. A player will go unnamed.
Obviously, Kiki Vandeweghe.
Obviously, Andre Miller was hanging out reading fan mail and discarding the leftovers in a large pile, and did not talk to reporters at all. But that's all he was doing, and it's weird. Andre always is like in and out in 30 seconds.
Oh,
but
I thought you were
going to say. For some reason tonight, he was like going through his fan mail.
I thought you were going to say it's weird because people still write letters in 2013, apparently.
That was what I was and I wanted to stop him, but Miller is just not a very friendly dude, so I didn't want to interrupt him. But that's what I was thinking. I was like, people really mail letters. My wife does it, but I make fun of her for it. I'm always, she mails packages and letters. I'm like, what are you doing? Who does this?
I do like the times I've seen him here in Minneapolis. He's one of the few guys, and it's such a veteran move. He hits the media food every time and brings a plate back to the locker room. But he goes for that free media food every time. Well, free. It's free for him.
Deshaun Stevenson asked. He's like, man, I don't really want this. I don't want this. He's like, what's in the media room? And like, he just asked generally, and I was like, pork chops. And he was like, really? And I was like, no, I'm lying to you. Aha, I fooled you, Deshaun Stevenson. And I was like, yeah, it's pork chop with broccoli and a baked potato. And for some reason, like, all the players thought this was disgusting.
Really?
I didn't get it. They were like, really? Come on.
I mean,
I'm like, well, one, we don't get catered the way you do. Two, it's a pork chop. Come on, who doesn't like pork chops?
Yeah, pork chops are okay.
You know, I love pork chops. I think they're fantastic.
I mean, if they're cooked right, they're fine, but it's not. Yes. It's not a steak.
I don't like badly cooked pork chops. That's true.
No, it's not a steak.
Oh, no. It's not. But, you know, for a quick meal, I'll take. I enjoy. I'm a big pork fan. So yeah, that concludes my stories from last night's adventures in a bland regular season game.
Oh, by the way, the Heat are good.
Oh, man.
They are on a 15-game winning streak.
That seems like a lot.
They're on a longer winning streak than the Bobcats have wins.
In my younger days, I used to get excited for winning streaks about like this because I would start thinking ahead and be like, what if, and now I just do not do it. I'm like, if they get to 25, we'll talk.
Yeah.
That's how high you have to get for me to care.
Which doesn't happen often.
But it's also like it doesn't take anything away from how consistent, because I also know they'll lose one game and then they'll win like another seven.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it looks like their magic number is still something like 17, because I'm stupid and started tracking that stuff already. But, you know, to me it looks like a seven-game lead, that's safe. There's no way catching them now.
Oh, yeah. Unless LeBron goes back to his home planet, they're not going to get caught. Like,
right, so we got 58 games left, so 14 remaining, or 24 remaining. 24 remaining. 24 games to catch seven doesn't seem likely.
No.
So they're locked up. The West is still, you know, Oklahoma City, I'm surprised, is three games back. So tonight's kind of a big game for them.
Yeah, big game.
They need to close the gap and really take the lead with Parker. Although I will say this, everyone's kind of saying, well, Parker's out, so, you know, the Spurs. Like, there was a headline on NBA on, like, League Pass last night on the app on the iPhone that was injury to Parker throws curve in West race. And I'm kind of like, look, I've said this before. Every single Spur could not play and they would still win. I don't know how.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, is that it's not that he's out for a couple of games. He's out 4 weeks, right?
Yeah.
And they've got Nando DiColo and Patty Mills picking up the slack. Now, DiColo's pretty decent, but that's the Spurs' best player out. And not that they can't make up for it, but I think in terms of top seeding in the West, I think it definitely does affect it pretty incredibly.
We'll see. I'm just saying it's not a guarantee that they're going to slip. I think
it's
possible that they keep winning at a great pace because they're that great a regular season team.
Yeah. I mean, even if they fell to a 70% win percentage while he's out, that's not bad, but it also makes them very catchable.
I don't want to make this note. When I say they're a great regular season team,
it's not condescending like when I say it about Denver.
Right. It's totally different. There's two different contexts here. So I say this on the podcast, I'll say it on Twitter, I say it on the radio, and there's two different ways to say it. You could say they're a great regular season team, like Zach says about Denver,
right,
or you could say they're a great regular season team, which is in terms of there's a different pace and a style and a flow, and there's different ways you can manipulate, and you can do different things, and just the intensity level is different, so you can manipulate it differently. It takes a little bit of a different of an art. Nobody wants to be a regular season coach versus a playoff coach. Popovich is obviously both, but there is just a little bit. It is a different kind of thing. So, you know, like one of Patty Mills or Nando DiColo is not going to be getting heavy minutes in the playoffs. Like Popovich is going to shorten his rotation. Every coach does it in the playoffs. Every
right.
coach shortens their rotation. It's why I never care about depth past your eight guys. Like I care about you having a solid eight guys, and then after that, I don't really care because most teams don't play past eight in the playoffs.
Right.
So, speaking of games tonight,
there are three of them. One of them's watchable.
One of them is very watchable.
Actually, I could see Nuggets Kings being fun for most of it.
I think it's a huge trap game for them. I think it's a huge trap game for Denver. Because Sacramento, every bad team has one brief period where they play okay, and the Kings are in it. The Kings are in their one brief time when they're playing not totally horrible.
Yeah.
They're plus 10.7 per game over the last four games, and they're averaging 115 points per game. That's a lot.
Kings are good at home.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately, like, a good team
at home. Almost like they have this, like, great home experience. And
oh, God. Wouldn't you want to change that?
Oh, but they didn't sell out on one specific night, so clearly the whole... Never mind, let's not go there. just get angry at people I can't get angry at.
I would love to go there,
Philadelphia,
though.
If you want to tear out your eyes.
Now, I still understand the scheduling from the preseason, but this is much worse than the Bulls-Sixers matchup you lamented last week.
Because we saw this one last year, right?
Right.
Like, even with Bynum, it's not going to make this one any prettier. I guess if you just started following the NBA, if you just like Googled and found this podcast, I'm sorry. But two, Boston-Philadelphia last year really was one of the worst playoff series I've ever seen.
It was really hard to watch.
It was seven games, and it was compellingly bad.
Yeah.
From the perspective of it was close, but it was also compellingly bad from the perspective of God, can either of these teams score at all? KG's going to kill Spencer Hawes and with that mid-range jumper, and I'm just going to lose it.
Oh, I thought you meant literally.
KG's gonna
rip out his heart at a ceremony and offer it up to the gods.
There's some sort of Republican joke in here. I can't really figure out my way to it, but just assume I made the Republican.
We should probably stay away from that.
It's not a political thing. I don't care about the politics thing. I'm saying, at least not professionally, as long as I get paid, I don't care. But I'm just saying, Spencer Hawes is a noted Republican. I feel like there's a joke somewhere to be made in a beating heart being ripped out of the chest. Bleeding heart liberal? I don't know. This is a long conversation about KG.
This is a long conversation that only you are having. I'm just watching you dig the ditch a little deeper.
Okay, Rajon Rondo versus Jrue Holiday, what do you think? Or not Rajon Rondo, Avery Bradley.
I thought you were breaking news there for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, Jrue Holiday should win that, but Bradley's really annoying on defense. Just an annoying guy. He would be really not fun to play pickup basketball against.
Yeah, he'd be really frustrating.
Not just because he's an NBA player, but the way he plays.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a pest. It makes him awesome, but he's just a pest.
You'd love him on your team, though.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I would. A wing that can defend right now, I would love that.
Wow. Throwing teammates under the bus.
I mean, I don't want to pull Dwight Howard here, but Luke Ridenour, I love him, and I think he's getting really jobbed by fans and their perception of him because he's asked to do things he shouldn't be asked to do because of their health concerns. But watching him try to defend Dwayne Wade last night, like, I just felt bad for him. Like, that was really hard to watch.
The biggie of the night, OKC LA.
How back are the Lakers?
Two games of the eighth.
No, but I mean just as a team. Like, how are they back?
Back?
Yeah, are they back? Are they back enough to steal this game on the road? And it would be a steal.
It's an interesting question because they can win this game and not be back, and they can be back and lose this game.
Yeah.
So it's a really – we're going to have to see how it plays out to kind of get a feel for what's going on.
You know, your comments about the Nuggets players kind of being amazed that the Lakers are going to – thinking the Lakers are going to make the playoffs, and I wonder if the Thunder have that mentality at all, or if they're just completely above it. They should be above it because they're, you know, arguably the best team in the West, arguably the best team in the league. And
they also, well, I also said this though, good team. Everybody gets up to play the Lakers,
yeah.
No matter how bad they are.
And that's where I'm wondering where their heads are. Is it? Not that they don't have to worry about it, but that it's just another game to them, or is it, hey, we kind of want to help stick it to the Lakers and keep them out of the playoffs? And not as a fear thing, but just as a let's show our dominance here.
It would be a really great opportunity. It's a great opportunity for a statement win,
yeah,
for Oklahoma City to say, you can make the playoffs, don't make the playoffs, it doesn't matter.
Should they be above that?
No, I don't think they should be above it because LA knocked him out 2 years ago. It's Kobe Bryant. It's Dwight Howard. Like, these are guys, there's still a perception amongst, even like, let's remove all the media stuff.
Yeah.
There's still an impression amongst the players that this is a team with a ton of talent. Specifically, here's how I describe it. I haven't talked to a few different guys about the Lakers. it's full of players who they're just like, man, I hate playing against them.
Yeah.
Because they're so good. Like, I hate playing against Powell in the post. He's so long. How do you defend it? I hate playing against Kobe. He's so good. He just, you know, he wants to win so badly. He, you know, he makes you work so hard. I hate playing against Dwight. He's so big. He's so physical. I hate playing against Nash. All these things. I think that's why it's okay for them to not be above it.
Let's talk about Dwight's comments real quick.
Please.
It's funny to me because there have been all these reports and rumors over the last like couple of years of Dwight said go get Glenn Davis, so they got Glenn Davis. Dwight said re-sign Jameer, go sign Jason Richardson to a contract, go get Gilbert Arenas, you know, like get Hedo back. Like there are all these rumors about that, and then for him to say, yeah, they have all these guys nobody wants, it's like, well, you wanted them, and that's the problem.
Right. That was one of my first thoughts. I tried to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. I don't particularly love taking one brief sentence.
It's very possible that it is out of context in enough of a way to where it makes him just look like a jackass.
Well, I mean, it's not even out of context. I watched the video because that was my thing. All right, where does he say this? And Alex Kennedy of Hoops World was actually right. Like, he just brings it up. Like, it's like a magic trick, and now I'll make my teammates disappear under this bus. I mean, it's like it came out of nowhere. It's possible. I said this in the post that it's possible he was taking it from the perspective of, you know, nobody believed in us. It was a bunch of guys who nobody really, you know, bought into, and I took them to the finals. Imagine what I could do with a team full of really great players,
right?
Not necessarily saying that the other guys are terrible. It just...
Which is still kind of a prickish thing to say.
Yeah, it's still not...
It's still cool. Not great.
And I don't get it, because that team stuck by him. They didn't throw him under the bus last year, and they didn't really afterwards. Jameer, I think, made one comment, but other than that...
I wonder if he feels like, because not everybody... Like, it was kind of loosely reported that half the team was with Van Gundy and half the team was with Dwight.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he feels betrayed by that, which would be kind of stupid to me, but I would get it, you know?
It's also, how can his agent or publicist, I'm sure he's got a publicist, why is his publicist not telling him, you need to not do interviews for a while. You need to go dunk. Go dunk, and then we can do interviews later.
Well, it's probably a lot easier to tell him what to do than to have him actually do it.
It's just amazing to me that he's – and he comes off as so defensive in the interview.
Yeah.
He comes off as so defensive and just
– Well, I get that. I mean, he has been raked over the, you know, the media coals for quite a while.
But the best way to do that, to get around that, if you really want to get out of that, even if you think it's unfair, the best way to do it is to say, like, apologize for things that aren't necessarily what you're criticized for. Apologize for other things.
Yeah.
Apologize for what you're willing to apologize for.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, like just a simple, I feel really bad about how tough that situation in Orlando was for everybody.
Right.
Or I feel really bad that my free agency has been such a distraction for the team this year. And I understand that it's under my power to sign the extension, but looking at it for my future, I really got to look out for what's best for me. He says that, and I can't pull that quote into a man, Dwight's such a schmuck.
Right.
If you,
well, I mean, people still would because it's the internet, but
right.
But for the most part, yeah, like any reasonable person would be like, yeah, I get that. That's respectable.
It's fair to look at the stuff that I write about him and think that I'm shopping for these things to go off on him about. But really, I don't want to. I really like Dwight as a personality rather, because I don't know these people. We don't know any of these guys as a personality in this league. 4 years ago, I really liked him as a player. I thought very highly of him. I thought really, really his work ethic. And it's just been really disappointing to see him kind of go on this spiral in terms of his attitude.
It has really been a spiral because he was turning into like kind of like a golden child of the NBA. Mm-hmm. And now people just don't like him. Like across the board, people don't like him.
And to a certain degree, though, that happens with almost everybody, and it makes you wonder about, like, I always wonder about with the younger players. I'm always like, what are we going to be saying about Kyrie Irving in 2 years? What are we going to be saying about...
Oh, in Kyrie Irving in 2 years, it's going to be, oh, his team doesn't win, he doesn't play defense, he doesn't pass, all he does is shoot, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's what it's going to be, and it's going to be insane.
I would say, what are we going to be saying about Ricky Rubio in 5 years? But I'm pretty sure the we is not going to work in that sentence with you on the phone.
I mean, I'm going to say, look, little Ricky Rubio Harper is a great kid. He's 3 years old, and he's fantastic. He's the smartest kid in his school.
I do like that you genuinely like a player that much, though. I think it's cool, considering you have high standards, and the fact that he kind of meets them in terms of his work ethic and his approach is kind of cool.
Yeah, like his skill set, I appreciate, well, it's very incomplete, but what he's good at, he's elite at, which helps, you know? It's kind of like how much I love Kyrie Irving right now. It's that, yeah, he actually has a lot of holes in his game, but I'm never a guy of like, oh, well, he's young, he'll be fine, you know? Like, I just don't really subscribe to that kind of thinking often, but with him, he's such an elite scorer, and he's such an elite scorer when the game matters, that it's like, how could you not like him? Like, yeah. No, he's not a perfect player. Who cares? Watch him score. It's awesome.
I questioned the draft pick. I questioned the hype about him. I made fun of the entire thing. I saw the first five games from him and was like, well, I was an idiot. My bad. Whoops.
And that's with Rubio. Like, one, he plays defense. I believe in point guard defense, so that helps, you know, skew me about him. But he just genuinely seems like a guy who loves to play basketball. Not that he's one of the only ones in NBA. Most of these guys love to play basketball, but he just likes going out there and competing. And you saw it last night in the Heat game. No reason for the Wolves to be in that game, even as nonchalantly as the Heat were playing. No reason. But Rubio was just too competitive, and he helped lead his team, and it was close for much longer than it should have been. And he does that without being able to really score the ball, even though he scored the ball well last night. And there's that whole mythical, like, the will of certain players, and that's what draws me in with guys like Rubio or Irving or and I think that's where it is with Dwight, and it's an unfair accusation, but you just don't get that sense with him anymore. I think you used to get that sense with him of, like, the defense and, you know, dominating at the rim, dominating the boards and everything, that he had this will, but it just seems to have dissipated. And maybe that's just letting his PR disaster over and over, you know, cloud the way he plays. But, and, you know, the injuries this year factor into it for sure. But there's just something about him where it's just like it's kind of easy to fall out of love with him as a player, even though he's still really good.
Real quick, before we do picks, I did want to get your thoughts on. I had it and it's gone. I don't know what I want to get your thoughts on, so I have to wait till tomorrow. For picks, Kings are favorite. You talk about the trap game with Denver. The Kings are only getting 5 at home.
Oof.
Denver's on a back to back, getting 5, and Sacramento's getting 5.
I like the way. God, it is such a trap game. Denver should absolutely roll in this game, even with Sacramento being good at home. But 5? The question is, I feel like either Sacramento wins this game or Denver wins by a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see Sacramento losing a close game here, right?
No.
I think I'd roll with Denver just because they're the better team. I don't feel good about that, but I think I roll with Denver.
That's why I did in the picks. I was like, well, they're just better. We'll hope that they can cover.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I'm overthinking it, you know?
Yeah. Nuggets 223 over-under for versus the Kings tonight. I remember I was going to ask you. If you're the Bucks, who won another overtime game last night against the Jazz, who are now 1-4 since the trade deadline, if you're the Bucks, what team do you want to trying to aim for? Are you angling for Indiana or New York? I know the answer is doesn't matter. They're going to lose. They suck. I'm just thinking at it from a perspective of if you have your choice between those two, who do you want?
I think
you don't want Miami, and they don't either.
I think you want New York because I think Indiana is such a test of just stamina, right?
I think that you want New York for a lot of reasons. One of them is you tell Brandon Jennings that he's going into New York to Madison Square Garden, and you lie to him and you say, the Knicks have all this cap room this summer.
don't listen to your agent.
Don't listen to him.
Yeah, and I think it's not that I think that they can beat the Knicks. I just think you have a chance to play the Knicks for seven games. You know, let's just pretend it goes seven games regardless. You want to play the Knicks for seven games or do you want to play the Pacers for seven games? One is going to be a tough matchup in terms of, you know, X's and O's and moving around the perimeter and blah, blah, blah. The other one, you're going to get beat up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, and it's just the Pacers beat you up. I'd rather play the Knicks just because I know that at least physically you're getting out of there okay.
It's kind of interesting to think about a Bucks-Knicks matchup, isn't it? It's kind of interesting because you got Monte versus J.R. Smith.
Jesus.
But battle have it all.
Oh, my God.
You got Brandon Jennings versus Raymond Felton.
That could be fun.
You know, Carmelo at the four versus Ersan Ilyasova, which is kind of an interesting matchup all over.
Well, it's interesting in the fact that Sanders is protecting the rim, so, you know, Carmelo probably has to be really good on the perimeter in that series. I mean, I'd take New York, but...
Yeah, I'd take New York in probably five.
Yeah, I think I would go five or six.
But yeah, then you get Larry Sanders and Tyson Chandler, which would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And Tyson would educate him, but... Because, you know, experience and just pure size.
Ooh, and you get a stereotype thing with Novak versus Redick off the bench.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Let's hope they put Steve Novak trying to guard J.J. Redick around the screen. So that'll work out well for them. Yeah, so I think that's kind of interesting. Next game, the Sixers are getting 2.5 at home versus the Celtics. The over-under is 184.5. Take the under.
I don't care. I don't even want to watch the game. I don't think I am going to watch the game. I know I'm on tonight. I'm pretty sure I'm on tonight. But I think I'm just going to wait and see if highlights come over Twitter, and then I'll just pull them and credit the person who posted it. I don't want to watch that game.
It's understandable.
It sounds awful.
I cannot blame you. No one can blame you.
I would like to have a glass of wine and watch The Daily Show. That's what I'd like to do.
The big watch for that game is how many minutes for Arnett Moultrie will Doug Collins not play?
Oh, we got to talk about that before we go.
Okay.
Doug Collins basically comes out there saying, I hope Moultrie can play more. You're the coach. Just do the I Dream a Genie thing and nod your head, fold your arms, nod your head, he'll play. You're the coach. What do you mean you hope? Is he hurt? What does that mean? Doug Collins has lost it. He went on that rant and he's officially lost it.
I'm crying right now. I'm laughing so hard.
The odds that he doesn't try to, like, suit up Moses Malone tonight are very, very low.
Maybe that's what they should do, is just get Moultrie and Moses Malone jersey.
I guarantee he's calling Maurice Cheeks, he's calling Andrew Toney, he's calling Tim Perry, he's calling Clarence Weatherspoon, he's calling everybody. He's seeing if Hersey Hawkins still has knees. He's calling everybody, every Sixers player that he can play outside of Moultrie, and then go, God, I just couldn't find minutes for him tonight.
Just couldn't find minutes for him.
I don't even think Moultrie's a guy that has to play. Like, he's a cool young player and everything, but, like, if you didn't play him, I don't really care. But the fact that you're saying, I hope he can play when he's completely healthy is asinine.
The Sixers bloggers were telling me that Hawes was 0-9 the other night versus Golden State and still played, like, 20-30 minutes.
Of course he did.
He was 0-9 in 20 minutes. And Arnett Moultrie was 2-2 in 8 minutes. Just play him, Doug. It's okay. Nobody's going to be mad at you. The playoffs are over. It's okay.
It's like, I mean, is it possible that Doug Collins only got page one of his two-page job description when he signed the contract?
What's on page two?
Play, guys, if you want to. There just wasn't enough room on the one page, so they had to go to a second page. But that was the last line of the entire job description: was "Play, guys, if you want to."
Cheap printers, man, just can't trust them.
It's astonishing.
Thunder are favored by 8.5 at home tonight. It's in the Thunderdome.
Oh, I think that's a close game. I like the Lakers to cover, but I don't know who wins.
214 over under. I think that's going to be high.
I almost think it's going to be low.
Yeah, I could see it being in one of those 98-96 games.
Yeah.
Could definitely see that.
I would go Lakers to cover and the under, so take Take the Thunder in the over.
What we got coming up this week? You write anything this week?
I don't know. I'm going to talk to somebody tomorrow. Who's in town?
I'm going to write something about something.
I don't know. Who's in town? John Wall's in town tomorrow. Well, really, the whole team. Whole team's in town, but I'm going to try to talk to John Wall.
This Sixers-Celtics game has just depressed you to the point you don't even care.
I'm really thinking about quitting. Just so I don't have to watch the game. Not even it's not even a try to get the shift changed with you or Royce. Like I'm just gonna quit so I can avoid the game completely.
Drastic measures. Thanks, Zach.
Thank you.